Chris Campitelli, who spent his life around the track. He was in the starting gate in Louisville this year, and every year he's in the starting gate at Preakness at Pimlico, and he knows horses as well as anybody I've ever met, and he joins us right now. And Chris, your reaction to what happened on Saturday?
I mean, it was absolutely incredible. There's no other way to explain it. I was fortunate enough to be at the Derby, be at the Preakness, couldn't make it up to the Belmont, so watched it from home in my living room, and they broke from the gate, and I was out of my seat rooting for him the whole way. I'd actually placed a couple wagers on some other horses just
in case.
Yeah, our whole life, we've watched horses, you know, be favorite going into the Belmont after winning the first two legs, and, you know, an injury or, you know, freak accident like with Big Brown happens.
Or they just get bested. They don't have enough in the tank.
Yeah, and so that's what I've gone into this race expecting every time I watch it. There's so many things that can go wrong, but that's why American Pharoah was such a special horse, because he was able to dictate the pace in the Belmont and keep going.
And even into the stretch run, that lead he had was no greater than Smarty Jones's lead. So I wasn't certain until about the final furlong, until the final eight pole. I think we all knew it was over, but I still thought there was this chance he was going to get caught, because how often do you see in a race like that a wire-to-wire winner for a mile and a half, setting the pace and then winning it?
Exactly. And like I said, that's one of the reasons that, you know he's a special horse, because breaking out of the gate, anything can happen. And to really put yourself in good position where you want to be, you have to use your horse up a little bit. You have to use a little bit of energy. And in a mile and a half race, you need every ounce of energy to get the distance. So, but he was able to position himself, and going down the backside, he had his ears pricked, and he was like galloping along, watching his works and his gallops. It looked like a morning workout, you know, at the backside of the Belmont. Coming around the final turn, Frosted came up to him, had every opportunity to pass him, but it was never in question. From the backside, you know, down to the top of the stretch, I knew he had it.
How much credit do you give Victor Espinoza for all three of these races? I feel that Baffert somewhat played him down a little bit, and maybe even Espinoza plays down Baffert, which I guess is to be expected. You know a lot more about the relationship between jockeys and trainers than I do. But purely, we'll leave Baffert out for the next question. Purely Victor Espinoza getting the most out of his horse in Louisville down the stretch. That was a tough race. Winning in the slop at Pimlico and then going wire to wire in the Belmont. How much credit do you give the jockey for American Pharoah?
I mean, he did a great job, and most of the time what we like to say is the only thing the jockey can do is mess it up.
Pure trainer's perspective, by the way. Yeah, a disclaimer on that.
Exactly. But he did a great job. Like I said, was able to position him well in every race, right where he wanted to be, and did great.
How much credit do you and the rest of the racing community give Bob Baffert?
I mean, this whole process can be very tiring on a trainer. Dealing with all the media, that sort of stuff. But Bob has done a great job. He's always kind of come across as a little flamboyant, maybe. Very recognizable character with the white hair. Likes to say controversial things once in a while, get people riled up, play with the media a little bit. But I thought, especially leading up to the Belmont, he was very humble in how he handled this situation. Made sure that people knew that this is all all American Pharoah. He was just a passenger as well.
Do you believe that, as someone who comes from a great training family who's trained horses? Could Todd Pletcher have been given American Pharoah at the same age? Could Shug McGahee have been given American Pharoah at the same age? Could the Campitellis have been given American Pharoah at the same age and gotten a similar result? We obviously can't play out every scenario there, but would it have been hard to screw this horse up?
I think so, but that being said,
I don't. That doesn't mean you're taking away from Bob Baffert.
No, absolutely. Bob is one of the best in the business. So maybe not with a lesser trainer, but to me, it looked like this horse dictated every race he was in, and he wasn't going to be beat any way you look at it.
Chris Campitelli is with us here on WBAL News Radio 1090. There's this video. I saw it in NBC's pre-race coverage on Saturday. I don't know if you've seen the video where he's working out before Baffert got a hold of him, and they showed him off to a bunch of high-priced trainers. Baffert wasn't even there. He saw the video of him the next day, but one of his people was there, and everyone was just blown away by this little horse who was running, you know, looked like all over the place, kind of, but they saw something. I mean, it's impossible for me to see it.
Absolutely, and you'll see that with young horses. They'll run what we call green. They'll be looking around, kind of drifting in and out, and that's where it really, you know, you need a jockey that can keep a horse focused like that.
Could you, in that video, or you've seen so many of these videos and these workouts in your life, can you pick up what they're looking for and say, I don't know if that's going to be a Triple Crown winner, but that has a chance to be a contender in 2 years.
Absolutely. And you see the way a horse moves over to the ground. Bob has even said this horse just glides over the ground. He's never had a horse that's moved like American Pharoah has. And you can see that, but when it comes to race time, you could have a horse that works great in the morning, fast in the morning, but when it comes to race time, they just don't want to do it. They don't have it in them, not physically, but mentally. And that's a big key, I think, to American Pharoah's success is mentally he is all there. You saw if you watch the post-race coverage or just of him in the winner's circle at Belmont, there's 100 people surrounding him. You can't even see him. And post-race, where a horse has got adrenaline going and they're worked up, you don't see that. Most horses are going to be kicking out and be, you know, running over top of people, but he's just all there mentally as well.
They say that his stride is longer than most horses. What do they mean?
Just the amount of ground he covers and, you know, what would be equivalent to a, you know, one human step or something like that.
Is that true in this case?
I've seen those. I've seen a picture with a, you know, kind of a showing his angle of his stride, and therefore he would have a longer stride being bigger than Secretary. But, I mean,
he's bigger than Secretary.
No. As far as his stride length.
Right.
And the angle of his stride. I'm not sure. I don't think that really matters. That's just kind of neat things you see on Facebook, neat memes you see on Facebook, whereas it only matters what they can do in the race. Doesn't matter how big their stride is.
When we come back, I want to ask you about the mental side of American Pharoah, because just from what I've seen on television, and you mentioned it, it does seem like he's a little different. In my two times seeing him at Pimlico leading up to the Preakness, I've seen a lot of Kentucky Derby winners there. I do every year. I'm fortunate enough to be very close to them. And I guess for some, there is something just a little different. I kind of got that sense, but it's not as overwhelming for me, not being a horseman. But what I've noticed on television these last few days is kind of bizarre and interesting. He seems to really enjoy the spotlight and the camera. We'll talk about that coming up with Chris Campitelli on WBIL News Radio 1090.